therefore the child to be born will be holy, and he will be called Son of God. And now your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son, and this is the sixth month for her who was said to be barren. For nothing will be impossible for God. Then Mary said, "Here am I, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word." Then the angel departed from her. The words of our Lord. Thanks be to God. Let's watch a little video about our theme over the next couple months. To break free from the tombs and cocoons of our darkness. Wouldn't that be wonderful? We are promised that again and again through Jesus Christ. The life cycle of a butterfly is a wonderful example of that metamorphosis or transformation that we seek in our lives. And if we're going to focus on the life cycle of a butterfly through this worship series, then I guess it's a good idea for us to understand the life cycle. Now, I wish that our resident butterfly expert, did you know we have a resident butterfly expert? Jenny, our Christian Ed director, loves monarchs, butterflies, and I think she loves all butterflies, but she's especially attuned to monarchs. So I'm looking forward to her being back. She's visiting her mother today, but I'm looking forward to having her back because she is like a butterfly whisperer. We served Chrislyn last year, and immediately on some milkweed, she saw the cocoons of monarch butterflies. I'm like, how do you see that? You know, this little cocoon, and she sees them. So I'm sure she could tell us a lot about the butterflies, but I thought it might be interesting. Well, first of all, let me tell you, there are 17,500 species in the world and 750 species right here in the United States. Now, there wouldn't be enough time, Sunday worship, even with 7 weeks, for me to highlight all of the species that we have, to talk about those. So I think it would be good for us to narrow it down to one species, and that's the monarch, which is found on milkweed around this area and region. Now, monarch butterflies embark on a marvelous migrant experience. They travel between 1,200 and 2,800 miles or more from the northeast United States, which would be southeast Canada, to the mountain forests in central Mexico, where they find the right climate conditions to hibernate from the beginning of November to mid-March, and in which case we see them emerge from their cocoon. But we're not emerging quite yet. They are fascinating creatures, and today, before we get to the life of a butterfly, we'll think about the stage after they're a caterpillar. The stage of metamorphosis where they construct or place themselves in a chrysalis for 8 to 15 days of their only 2 to 6 week lifespan. Sometimes we interchange cocoon and chrysalis, but actually I learned that a cocoon, that term is used for a moth. I'm like, we certainly can't use cocoon for a butterfly. They're much more beautiful than a moth. So the monarchs we talk about are in chrysalis form. But you might hear me interchanging those two words. Well, the two gospel readings from today point to the darkness of the womb and the darkness of the tomb. And it is in these foundational places, the womb and tomb, that help us connect to this metaphor of the chrysalis. The caterpillar's instinct to enter chrysalis, or entering the nurturing dark of gestation, is paralleled in the story of Jesus' birth from the womb of Mary, the dark of the burial tomb from which he emerged, and our own willingness for transformation. Emerging is common in the Christian story, and in our story as followers of Jesus, we emerge from the waters of baptism as we are called God's beloved, and we'll joyfully experience that over the 7 weeks of this worship series, to be reminded of the joy in emerging and being transformed by those waters we find in baptism. But it also means trusting the divine when we aren't sure what the next is for us. At times, we aren't emerging, but we are surviving as we wait in the darkness of place that we have found ourselves. Will we allow ourselves to trust in the dark where transformation begins? In some ways, as I took my leave from daily church ministry in February, I was entering into a time of transformation, and I wasn't sure how it would begin, but I definitely felt like it was a dark place. Dark place meaning because I didn't know what to do or what was going to happen. What would my leave look like? It was a little, I was a little anxious about that, especially as I'm the type of person that likes everything planned out, admittedly sometimes with the ways I'm feeling. And the reality is that dark places can be scary and nerve-wracking, can't they? Even though I chose to enter this dark place, I had to learn to trust Jesus in the experience. And if nothing else, I was looking to be transformed again. But I didn't know what that transformation would look like. I think about Mary receiving the news from the angel that she, a virgin, would be the savior of the world. And as Mary says, how can this be? She was shocked by the news that she would bear a son in the most difficult circumstances as a young unwed mother. Or as a young unwed woman, she would become a mother. The audacity that God brings good news through Mary mimics the audacity that God continues to show in our own lives. Think for a moment at what seemed unbelievable to you at one moment is a reality that you are living this day. Maybe you've been in a dark moment surrounded by infertility or a miscarriage, only to find out you were pregnant again. And you asked yourself, how can this be? Not only in wombs do we question God's plan, but we question God as we stand by the tombs of death. We lose a loved one and we wonder how we can carry on. We watch a dream disappear and wonder where God is or what's next. Well, one thing we will never know is what happened to Jesus' body in the 3 days between Good Friday and Easter morning. I mean, did God snap his fingers and wake Jesus up? Did Jesus' body descend to hell to fight with Satan and win victory over death? Maybe God takes Jesus' body and heals it and then puts Jesus back in the tomb. Or maybe Jesus just has a really good sleep. Wouldn't we love to have a great sleep? And then he just wakes up. All of those are possibilities, but we aren't sure. But what we do know is that somewhere in those 3 days, transformation happened. It was just this past week that President Biden ended the United States national emergency for the COVID-19 pandemic. After 3 years, you might say it's officially over. As a official as it can be with the president signing it. For many of you, admittedly, it's been over for quite a while, and for some, the pandemic never really started in their own lives. Nevertheless, we might be able to say that the worst is over in terms of its spread and death toll. And yet, we'll never forget it, will we? 3 years ago, I believe it was on March 15th, I remember sitting in the preschool room with a session as we tried to figure out the best way to approach the pandemic. I remember that I had just come from downstairs in the Baraka room celebrating Donnie's arrival at a baby shower 3 years ago. I think at that time, none of us had any idea how long it would go on. In fact, like many of you, we thought it would only last a couple weeks and then life would resume as normal. And certainly, we never imagined not doing worship and church life differently for 3 years. Some might say we were forced to withdraw into a dark place when what we knew about worship was just flipped upside down once we knew that we couldn't worship in a traditional sense. For many, it was necessary to retreat into our homes with a metaphoric chrysalis surrounding our bodies to keep us safe. Some fought it, some welcomed it. We did the best we could with what we had, and with that, and with what we knew. I remember fumbling with PowerPoint, trying to run it and lead worship at the same time in front of my computer. But you know what? During that time and that little PowerPoint and my computer, we welcomed new members. We even invited the youth to lead worship on that first Pentecost Sunday. And we realized that we needed help if we were going to sustain digital worship. Our saving grace, so to speak, was Cole's willingness to take over the technology we needed to produce a seamless worship service online. And with his help, we did it well. I mean, not without errors. We still haven't shown that the bloopers to you, but we had errors. But we gave it our all between potential COVID diagnoses and other things that came up. I remember spending countless hours researching the use of copyrighted music in a recorded worship service. I sat in the sanctuary recording Joan, who on my phone so I could upload it to send to Cole. I think about the session trying to balance the safety of our church community and not wanting to be too scared or react in panic. I think about their concern that if we close the church, the necessary support groups of AA and Al-Anon and NA might not be able to gather together. We stepped forward when it felt safe to return to in-person worship, but even then we proceeded with caution as we continued to use pre-recorded choir videos and pre-packaged communion. And we learned pretty quickly that online worship would remain more and more as people came to us on Sunday morning. And hopefully I can say that we are on the other side of the pandemic. And we have survived. We have survived. We emerged from that chrysalis time as a new creation. And we're still learning what our new creation will be. During my time away, I was introduced by a colleague of mine to Marcia McPhee. Marcia is a worship designer and consultant. She designed the Emerge series. Actually, during the pandemic, she wrote the series out. And of course, she's written and designed so many other worship series. She kind of brings all the creativity to one spot so that us as pastors can find all that creativity in one spot and eliminate some of that work for us. She writes and speaks about worship in all formats. She talks about the metamorphosis moment of the church and says that she believes that we are in a moment of change. She writes, the exact stage of metamorphosis is not clear, but I would say that we are metaphorically hanging upside down and gyrating like a caterpillar, doing what it might not understand, but knows it must do. I'm just imagining all of our church members gyrating upside down. As beings who would rather be upright with firm ground under our feet, wouldn't we? We are uncomfortable in this state. The practices we have known are being covered with the silk threads of chrysalis in which we will inevitably transform. And this experience of subtle change comes with a certain amount of pain as we let go of our illusions of lastingness. But we have survived. Thanks be to God. In fact, we are thriving in many ways. We've expanded our ability to offer worship services to those who prefer watching online. And we can rewatch a worship service or event in our sanctuary with the ability of technology. One of the joys of my time away was experiencing worship in new places, and yet I could still log on to YouTube and watch the services here that you had as I was away, and I love that connection. With great gratitude, I'm glad that family members from, you might say, across the pond were able to watch a baptism that they could only hear about prior to the pandemic. Evidence of God's faithfulness and blessing are seen as we lift our eyes to the screen, or the screen back here, but we lift our eyes to the screen on both sides of the chancel area. New opportunities to draw to one another at a book club or Bible study or a weekly prayer gathering as we begin this coming Wednesday are possible for all, whether they are in person or online. Evidence of new life is emerging, just as when a baby is born. New life is promised just as death occurs, all in part to the love and grace of God through his Son, Jesus Christ. And even my time away was not without God's blessings. The good news is that I didn't stay in the darkness. God, in his perfect timing, revealed to me what my time away would be like. And I was met with the light of Jesus Christ, who reminded me in a myriad of ways that I was called to serve as pastor to this community of believers. I firmly believe that God is rebuilding me as I've emerged, and undoubtedly, God is rebuilding this church as we emerge from a very stressful period of time. And yet we don't really understand how Jesus came to be conceived or came to be resurrected. We don't have those details, but we take it on faith that these two things happened and did so in the obscure darkness out of anyone's sight. So often we can mischaracterize the dark as a place of uncertainty, of fear, and even death. But that isn't the whole picture. Darkness, that is a place without light, is also a place of incredible, incredible possibility. And so the dark places you have dwelled do not need to be your end either, because you too will emerge as a new creation, having learned something new or being reborn to serve in this church among your church family. And as scripture reminds us, death is no victor, and we are no victims. I am not a victim of the circumstances that led me to seek some time away. God blessed that time away so that I could heal and rest, emerging as a new creation. And he does so for you. Spiritual mystics attribute a time of deep spiritual potential in what is called the dark night of the soul, when we experience spiritual and even doubt, emptiness, and discouragement. And while it can seem really difficult and painful, the dark night of the soul is often understood as a crucial abyss before spiritual transformation occurs. Darkness is a place that is waiting for the morning to come. Darkness is where we go to rest and improve and recover. Darkness in the chrysalis is a place of mysterious transformation where a caterpillar becomes a winged thing of radiant beauty. So, my friends, the questions for us today are, how can we overturn this negative association with darkness? How can we revel in the potential of the in-between places rather than simply be impatient for the result? What holy and sacred life can be lived in the time that is between what was and what has yet to become? Only by embracing the wonder, the curiosity, and asking the question, what if? What if the dark place you are in now will lead you to a new life? What if your pastor's perceived dark time away was so that we could all emerge into new possibilities? And what if what you think will end in death and loss will only help you rebuild the life God created you to have? What if? I'm grateful to serve a church that has a glorious past. I'm humbled to be listed with a long line of faithful and competent pastors. The sanctuary that we sit in this morning and the building we use throughout the week has a big history. Even if it feels like the congregation is getting a little smaller. Nevertheless, I invite you to be aware of how the divine is at work, not just in our past or even in the possible future, but in the uncomfortable now. God is at work. And God calls us to find the holy and spiritual presence of God in the incomplete, in the potential, and in the waiting time. What a wonderful way to start the Easter season as we explore the stages of emergence a butterfly undergoes as it prepares to leave the confines of a cocoon or chrysalis into the glory of whatever comes next. The same might be said for what God is doing in and through you and your own personal cocoon. And so today I invite you to wonder, and as hard as it is, to just wait, and yet be curious and ask God and each other, what if? Our worship began with questions that Phyllis read that included us in the dark of the womb as we wondered, what could be better than this warm and safe place? As we struggle to emerge, the love of the divine yet reminds us, you too are my child. You can emerge to renewed life again and again. Alleluia. Amen. Friends, I invite you, if you're able, to stand as we sing, Blessed Assurance, Jesus is Mine.